Blog Talk Radio.
Bring it. Thank you very much, Will Smith, once again for bringing us in, and you are listening to yet another episode of Death of Diets. If you got any questions, feel free to give us a call at 914-205-5494, and we'll answer some questions if you got them. And if you want to contact me, you can do it through that number for the next 20 or 30 minutes, or you can get a hold of me at info@deathofdiets.com. That will actually come right to my phone. And so I would be able to get back to you probably sooner rather than later, and I would think pretty quickly normally. And great. And so here we go. I'm just getting a couple of things straight here because of the topic tonight. Increasing sets is a key strategy for fitness and moving on up. And moving those sets up, moving those reps up, maybe adding an exercise here and there, and why. The why and the how of doing all of that. And so I was looking around for something online that would make it very simple and very easy for me to keep track of it, and I found that pretty quickly wasn't too bad. And so the idea here, it's kind of some of the same ideas that I want to get across on everything that I'm doing for Death of Diets. You know, I'm kind of beating the same drum of do not blindly follow a routine. You know, just because it says you should be able to does not mean that you will be able to. We're different, and in fact, I don't want to get ahead of myself and jump into 14 different laws all at the same time, but I just want to cover some things so that you have an ability to assess your own fitness program right now and understand whether you need to do more or less and understand why and realize that it's not bad or good that these things are happening this way. Now, you may be earlier on in your fitness program, and so you will make gains pretty quick. You may have been doing it for a while, and so you need a little bit more of a strategic plan as to how you're going to do things. And, you know, if you've been around a while, you've been doing it a while, you probably understand that nutrition is enormous when it comes to making the gains that you're looking for, whether it's in size or strength or both, or speed or endurance or whatever type of exercise that you're doing. Or fitness plan, or whatever it is that you're doing, whatever your goals are. Now, and understand this, your fitness plans should directly affect, or they should directly reflect your goals, or else A, you won't like it, and B, you won't stick with it. And so I wanted to get into a few things tonight, so that way you could assess your fitness program and what you're doing in a way that accurately reflects the direction that you're going. So when you go in, you're doing more than just moving or going through motions. You are actually in there with a purpose. And so if you're going in and you're lifting harder, you're working harder, you're running hard, you want to know that what you're doing is exactly what you need to be doing for the results that you're looking for. So your fitness plan should directly reflect the purpose or the reality of what you're looking to get out of exercise to begin with. So if I want to be able to squat a lot of weight, then I don't want to squat for a lot of reps. I don't want to do lower weight for high reps. I want to do high weight for low reps. And then there's ways to get past overtraining or not have to be so concerned about it. It's a very real thing, but we can train in such a way where it doesn't become a reality for us. And so the first thing I want you to do is I want you to think about, does your fitness plan, does exactly what you're doing reflect exactly what you want? And are you sure? And that's the first thing. It might take a little bit of study. It might take, you know, that's kind of what this program is for also. But I'm not hitting strength training specifically, but that's more what I do. I do more strength training than I do anything else. I'm looking to be a runner. I'm not looking to be a lifter, but strength helps me in the things that I do in everyday life, so it's what I want. And then the other thing that I want my my time in the gym to help me with is to increase my energy. I expend a lot of energy in a given day. And so when I go in there, I need that to increase my energy, not decrease it. So there are things that I do when I'm in there, when I'm in there working out. And sometimes I go pretty low reps. I might only go two or three on a given set. And there are other times like today where I'll go ahead and I'll do more sets. I'll do 8 or 10 sets for a body part, let's say. And I might even do 10 reps on some of those exercises. I won't do it for all that, because if I do 8 sets, I'll do 80 reps. I'm not necessarily looking for that. But there are times when I'll go in and I might do 50 reps when I'm used to doing 17 to 22. And there are reasons for that. You know, I'm trying to rebuild. I'm trying to allow the body to heal and not stress the joints too much and allow the connective tissue to get stronger. But I also don't tap that energy reserve quite so much either. So my recovery is better. My body continues to recover even though I've stressed it a little bit. And so I want to go over some of these laws of training. And if you wanted to go and look some of this stuff up, you could go and type in like the 7 granddaddy laws of training. And the specific article that I'm looking at is on breakingmuscle.com. And it's an interview with Dr. Fred Hatfield, who came up with all of this stuff to begin with. And I read this guy's book for the ISSA is the book that I studied in order to become a certified personal trainer. And so I'm obviously familiar with these. I implement them in the exercise routines that I do personally and that I do for other people. And so I want to hit some highlights here, and I want to pull you away from I have to do body for life, or I have to do, German volume training. I have to do, you know, somebody's routine, some bodybuilder's routine, stuff like that. And the other thing that you got to know is I do not do steroids. I have never done steroids. And in fact, I seldom take any supplements. If I do, I'll bring some protein along, and I might have some whey protein isolate. But that's it. And, you know, for personal health reasons, especially in the wintertime, I take a vitamin D supplement, 5,000 I use once or twice a day. And it helps with immune system function more than anything. And so that's primarily what I take it for. It does other things as well, but primarily it helps the immune system and it keeps me from getting sick, you know, more often. And I found that it worked pretty well this last winter. And so there are times even when it's nicer out, but we've had so many swings in temperature that it's impossible to not need to continue taking it. So I just keep taking it. I don't even notice it. You know, I don't have a feeling of high or low or any, it doesn't impact my energy. It doesn't make me want to go to sleep. It doesn't necessarily do anything that I feel. But one thing I do notice is when it comes to stuff going around, I don't catch it. That's the number one thing that I do it for. So it's great that way. Now, so when it comes to supplements, I take very little. I take no steroids. I never have. And so I work hard. I put out a lot of energy with what I do on a given basis. It's a very demanding physical job. And so the information that you're getting from me is coming from that perspective. And so if you have a demanding job and you want to understand how to work out, I tend to be able to help that person more. I have no issue helping a person who's writing a desk and needs to go from I haven't worked out in 2 years or 5 years or whatever, 10 years, 20 years, to I want to be in the shape that I was 15, 20 years ago. I have no issue with helping that person. It's not difficult. It takes time, just like it would if a person was benching 225 and they wanted to bench 315. It takes time. If you weigh 150 and you want to weigh 130, it takes time. All this stuff does when you're doing it right. But the best part is you're getting benefits from it the entire time. So you can enjoy the process. It's not just, if I lose 30 pounds, I'm going to be really happy. Well, you will be, but I guarantee you, you'll feel better along the way. And that's the best part. And one of the things that I want you to understand, and I've mentioned this before, is I don't understand when working out became something that had to be miserable. And why people go to the gym and they do all of these crazy things and they work out super hard and they're overtraining and they're tired and they're cranky and, you know, their sex drive is up and down and things aren't working like they're supposed to. And they're working out and their workout is literally causing it. And so then they dread going to the gym, and eventually they stop, and they actually feel a little better for a while. And then the pounds start to come back on. It becomes this vicious cycle. And so one of the things that I work into, the things that I, the programs that I design, is a level of enjoyment. I want to know what the person wants to do. I want to know their goals. I want to know specifically why they're working out. I want to know where they want to get to. I'll assess where they're at, and very seldom do I do a fitness evaluation or a BMI, or I don't do any of that stuff. Because if you do the right stuff, you'll never have to worry about that. And you will feel it so dramatically, and you will see the results so quickly that there won't be any question with where you were when you started. And one thing I do keep track of is how much improvement they're doing. So like from 1 week to the next, if they were working out with a given weight, and they did 5 reps with it, and this week they did 8 or they did 10. I go, you see that? You see what happens when you work out intelligently and you give your body a chance to rest and you change your nutrition this way and that way and you add a little water to your diet? You see how much difference that makes? And then they begin to see, wow, I don't need 15 supplements. I don't have to spend all this time in the gym. I don't spend all this time and money and effort and all this. I can do less and get more. And when they see the results, it becomes a pretty simple process at that point. Not to mention the fact they listen to pretty much everything I tell them at that point too. And so let's go ahead and get into some of these things. We've got less than 20 minutes left, so I want to hit some of these things so that you can really understand them. And this guy, Dr. Fred Hatfield, is a guru of gurus and when it comes to training, all that stuff. I mean, this guy, he was known as Dr. Squat. In college, he was a gymnast. He was also a power lifter. I mean, this guy, he was all over the place. And so when it comes to training, this guy knows what to do. And the first one is the one that I was using the most before I ever became any kind of personal trainer. And that is the law of individual differences. I didn't care about what they were doing before. I didn't care about their workout routine. I wanted to know what they wanted to do. I wanted to see what they were doing and whether it worked or not. And then I wanted to set something up for them to where it didn't grind them into powder. It didn't just run them into the ground. And it brought a level of joy and happiness to their life because they were doing something good for themselves. And they could actually see and feel the difference. The weight was going away. The muscle was coming up. The tone was coming. And the other thing, too, is, look, when you see a body for life or something like that, and it works amazing for some and it doesn't work at all for others, understand there are individual differences there. And so one of the things that Fred Hatfield did was he made a law of individual differences and just said, hey, look, rather than just designing a one-size-fits-all program, why not take into account certain factors of that person, their body type, their metabolism, their schedule. Maybe they're up early and up late. You know, they get up early and they're up all day and then they're up late. So we're not going to bring this person in and put them through 50 different sets. We're going to bring them in and we're going to start them off slower and lower and we're going to build up. And over time, they're going to see great results. And then another person maybe you got a high school kid it's off season. His season just got done. So he's got time. He's got he'll follow a routine that you build. And you'll bring them in and you'll make changes as you go through each individual workout, which is something that I love to do. You know, if a person comes in and they just didn't get enough rest or their body just isn't recovered to the point where it needs to be, I'll either send them home or I'll do a nice, easy workout. Why? Because it increases the energy level and it helps them. It's beneficial. And that's the only thing that I really want to do is benefit them either in energy or in getting closer to that goal. And if I can't do one, I want to do the other. But primarily, I want to do both. And so you got to look at how you're different from the guy that designed it. See, a lot of guys go to the gym, and they find the biggest dude in the gym, and they ask him what he's doing. Well, I'll tell you what he's doing. He's doing steroids. And he doesn't believe in overtraining because he doesn't have to. He rests, he sleeps all night. He works out. He takes a nap. He takes steroids. He eats 6 times a day. He gets, he's got sponsors that help him. And he just doesn't have the stresses you and I have. Now, there are exceptions to that. But primarily, and these are my personal experiences. This is what I've had when people come to me and go, yeah, but this guy said. It's typically the big guy in the gym and he's juicing. And he may have a job. He may be doing that other stuff. But he's taking a shortcut to get where he wants to be. And I said, well, look, are you juicing? No. Well, then don't do what he's doing. Well, why not? Because he can do that because he's juicing. That's why he's juicing. And so you have to take into account what you want to do, what your schedule is. And before you go just getting information from the biggest guy in the gym, you got to know whether or not anything that he's doing is going to relate to you. It's very important. And then there's a thing called the overcompensation principle and the overload principle. And what I want you to understand here is the real simple stuff here is when you start working out, the body kind of just overcompensates. And so what happens is you get gains very quickly to the body's perception of the stress that you're putting it through. And so it grows very quickly. And then as you go over time, it becomes more difficult to add stress that the body hasn't had before. And that's where the plateaus and all of that stuff come from. That's why you switch things up with sets and reps and exercises, and you know, you just do a variety of different things. What you don't do is all of a sudden throw 50 sets at a body part when you're trying to train for strength. Or here you are training as a bodybuilder and all of a sudden you do 5 sets of 5 and that's all you do. And you put the weight away. That might be great once in a blue moon, but if it becomes part of your routine, you're simply not going to see the results that you're looking for. And now, as in dealing specifically with increasing sets as a key strategy for fitness, one of the things that you really have to look at is how has your body reacted to the stress that you've been giving to it? That's important. If you're tired all the time, if you need more sleep, if you are not able to shorten the amount of days off in between your workout sessions, now is not the time to be adding sets. I don't care what your routine, your program says that you're supposed to be doing. If your body is not able to catch up and adapt to what you're doing, then it's simply not time to change it, to add stress to it. So there's no point in adding an exercise and a few more sets, because all you're going to do is run yourself into the ground. It's very important, because keep in mind, folks, we want to keep our health too. We want to keep our health. We want to train. We want it to benefit us. We want to feel vibrant and healthy and stronger and all of these wonderful things. And we can't do it if we start putting more and more and more on our body when it has not yet adapted to it. It's very important. And now this is probably my favorite one. It's called the SED principle. And it's simply the specific adaptation to imposed demands. It's very simple. And so the bottom line of Dr. Fred Hatfield here was, if you want to be explosive, then you must train explosively. If you want strength, then you strength train. If you want size, then you train for that. And so oftentimes, and one of the examples that he gives here is when it comes to CrossFit, there's a couple of things that they do wrong. Number one, they do high reps with Olympic lifts, which is fighting against itself. Olympic lifts are for strength and power, not for increasing what they call glycolytic capacity, or your ability to go for longer periods of time. Strength training and explosive training, they're not used in order to make you an endurance athlete. That's not what you would use it for. And so to take an Olympic lift and then do it a bunch of times is kind of defeating the purpose. It's like going out for a 10-mile run after doing squats. I mean, you just shot everything that you were doing in the foot. You're no longer going to get the benefit that you were looking for because you tried to compare or you tried to combine two totally different types of training together. And that's one of the things that cross-training does. And so we have to, in order to keep from becoming frustrated with our workout, we have to keep in mind what is super important, the most important thing to us and why we're working out. Are we doing it just for health? Then we don't need to lift. You know, we don't need to bench 315 or 45 or 500. We don't need to do that. So we may just need to. Now, I would, if you're in a place, I'm going to do a show here pretty soon called The Golden Girls and in the Golden Years. And so it's concerning people that are older, north of 50 years old, that are working out, and do they really need to do strength training? And so, and then how to go about doing it. Because there's great ways to do it. You don't have to just go in and jump on a series of machines and just you know, and kind of gut through some stuff, you can have some fun doing it. And then you don't even always have to do weight training, but you do need to do it. And because it's very beneficial. You don't have to worry about looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger, whether you're male or female. You don't have to worry about looking like that because it takes the body a long time to get there. And we're not going to impose those types of demands on it anyway. And so when we're using the said principle, this is the laser focus that we're looking for right here. What do I want from my workout? Do I want higher squatting numbers? Do I want to squat more weight? Then guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to squat. Leg press is okay, but it's not squatting. And if I specifically want higher squat numbers, if I specifically want higher bench numbers, I specifically want higher clean and jerk numbers, then that's what I'm going to work on. I can work on some ancillary lifts. That's doable. You know, I might work on a grip, or I might work on shoulders, you know, doing lateral raises as opposed to just, you know, constant pressing movements. I can do some of that stuff. But the reality is, if I want to get stronger in something, or if I want to get more endurance in something, then that's what I have to do to get the results that I want. That removes the frustration from what you're doing. And then once you put in proper nutrition and the right amount of rest, man, you've got an exercise routine that you're going to love. And then because you don't have to stick to this exact formula, like if you do A and B and C and D and E, you're going to get everything you want. And you know the body doesn't work like that in anything else. And so why would you do it that way now? You'll make some changes. You'll add some exercises. You might, you know what? I don't feel like doing a regular bench press. I went in today. I did reverse grip bench press. Never did it before. I thought, well, I'll try this. I liked it. I'll probably throw it in a little more often. I don't do a lot of benching. I do almost no benching because it's hard on the shoulders. And, you know, when I see people doing it, most of the time it's done wrong. And, you know, you just kind of let them go because somebody showed them that once and it's, you know, it's been gospel for a long time. And I will tell you this. If you went into a gym, and I've done this before, I've talked to some guys, why do you do what you do? They had very specific reasons why they were working out, but they didn't have very specific reasons as to why they were doing the workout they were doing. They knew that they needed to move and do things in order to get results. They knew that much. What they didn't know is how to listen to their body and realize when it was saying, hey, buddy, back off a little bit, or hey, you know what, this is killer, man, you're doing it just right. And over a period of the last 3, 4, 5 months, man, I've been changing and adapting. I need a little bit more now. Bring it on. Bring it on. Let's go. Keep feeding me. Keep resting me, but bring it on. Give me some more stuff. You know, work me out a little bit harder. I'm improving. I'm gaining. I'm feeling better. Make it happen. And so you do. And you see all of those things are successes. And those are what drive you to continue to do it and keep you going back to the gym. Even when you're really not making gains anymore, you're where you want to be. Your life doesn't have to constantly be about, okay, I hit 315 on the bench. Now I need 350. Now I need 365. I want to hit 365. I want to put those quarters on each side on top of those 345s. And then, oh, you know what? Now I want 405. It doesn't have to be like that. You know, I'm 41. I'll be 42 in August. And do I really need a 315-pound bench? Not really. I don't know what I do with it. I mean, I like working out. I get stronger. But ultimately, when I'm pressing, you know, 100, 110 on incline, or if I'm laying on an exercise ball, a big old exercise ball, and I'm pushing 100 pounds with one arm, that's pretty good. You know, when I'm mobile and flexible and far less prone to injury, and that's really what I want from my workout. I want to look good. I want to feel good. I don't want to be overweight. I want to be mobile. I want to endure. I want to be less prone to injury, much less prone to injury. And so I got to do everything a certain way. And I got to increase here and there. But ultimately, I'm not looking to become a professional athlete. And so I don't need $300 a month in supplements. I couldn't afford it anyway. I don't want that stuff. I don't want to get it out of a body. I like eating food. It's good. Now, we just talked, essentially, we really covered the specificity principle also. And then The general adaptation syndrome is essentially what happens inside your body to the muscle. There's the alarm stage, the resistance stage, and the exhaustion stage. And the thing that I really appreciate about Dr. Fred Hatfield is he believes in this thing called overtraining. And that final stage, that exhaustion stage, is you just trained too hard for too long. And at some point in time, you're going to be forced to stop because, you know, I mean, you're injury prone, your joints hurt, you may have headaches. You're irritable, you're not sleeping well anymore, and it just becomes this big ball of stress, and it just continues to build upon itself. All of these things begin to happen that make it just impossible to keep working out or to even want to. And so those are the types of things that happen when you overtrain. And I am a firm believer in it. I hear people saying it all the time. It is not possible. They are dead wrong. And guys that are way smarter than them, that have accomplished way more in bodybuilding or powerlifting or gymnastics or whatever, understand that there's overtraining that can be done. And they rest their athletes and they make sure their athletes are getting good nutrition. And go to any of your professional sports teams. They understand these concepts. Trust me, they understand these concepts. And so what I want you to do is I want to encourage you in a few things before we get out of here tonight. I want to encourage you to keep working out. I want to encourage you to get a real focus. What do you really want out of your workout? Do you really, maybe you just want some time alone. Maybe you just want to put the headphones on and zone out. You know what? That's okay. That's good. Maybe you're the kind that wants to go and work out and chat with friends. You know what? That's okay. We're not all bodybuilders. We're not all powerlifters. We don't have to go in there and grunt and scream while we're lifting weights and get away from me. I don't understand why all these people are talking. They should be lifting. No. It's not their goal. It's more of a social thing. Maybe, you know, I've got a friend of mine he's in a truck all day. He goes to the gym. Dude, he knows everybody in the gym. Everybody knows him. Great guy. Now, what if you're judging him and saying, hey, dude, if he wasn't yakking so much, he could get in and out of the gym. You know what? He's alone all day long. He's up at 4 in the morning. He goes in. He gets his truck at 5. He might be in the truck 9-10 hours, not talk to a soul. What's his hurry of going into the gym and getting out? It's a place he goes to socialize. Guess what? That's okay. Some folks, you know, my wife is one of those. She'll be in seeing patients all day long. Last thing she wants to do is solve somebody else's problem, listen to somebody else talk. You know what she does? Gets the headphones on and goes for a run, goes for a bike ride. Sometimes 20, sometimes 30, sometimes 50 miles she'll be out riding her bike. You go out and run a 5K or a 10K. Why? It's therapeutic. It's beneficial to her. She needs it. And that's what I want this to be for you. Not just some drudgery thing that you get up at 4 a.m. and go drag yourself to and have to do it. Or you get off of work and you fly over to your gym and you get in and you try to bust a few sets out because you really think you're supposed to and that may or may not do you some good and all of that. So, I mean, let's not make it the hassle. Let's not do that. Let's make it something we enjoy. Let's make it something we like. Let's make it something that's benefiting us for our reasons and for our purposes. We're not doing somebody else's workout. We're going to do something we like to do. I don't like that exercise so much. Okay, let's find a different one. If you want this kind of help, and if there's some way that I can assist you in that, go check out deathofadiets.com. I will consider your needs. We can chat live. We can do a face-to-face via computer. And I can chat with you about the things that you want to accomplish and about what's important to you and why. I mean, we could be talking about serious health benefits here because we could seriously reduce your stress. And not only are we going to reduce overall stress for your day, we're also going to reduce it when it comes to dealing with your workout. We're going to eliminate it when it comes to your workout. You may be able to work out less and get a greater response from your body because it needs more rest. I mean, there's any number of things that we can do that happen when you begin to bring in these very simple principles. And if it's one thing I promise you, I will do the best job that I can to make sure that you are benefiting greatly from what you're doing, because that's the point. And so if you don't want to work out in some crazy, loud, sweaty gym, whatever, great. Maybe your thing is out on the bike path, you know, getting in the sunshine and, you know, breathing in some nice, clean air and just feeling great about what you just did. That's awesome. I want to help you in those areas, figure that stuff out, and move you into a part of your day that's going to be super beneficial. But that's all the time I got for tonight. Me and Will Smith are going to take you out. And have a great night, and I will talk to you again a little bit later this week. Have a good night.
Bring it.
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor pro, I know, you know. I go psycho when my new joint hit. Just can't sit, gotta get jiggy with it. That's it, now honey, honey, come ride. DKNY, all up in my eyes. You got a Prada bag with a lot of stuff in it. Give it to your friend, let's spin. Everybody looking at me, glancing a kid. Wishing they was dancing a jig here with this handsome kid. Take a cigar right from Cuba Cuba. I just bite it, just for the look, I don't light it. Still way to ammo on the hand, stay on play. Give it up, jiggy, make it feel like foreplay. Yo, my cardio is infinite. Ha ha.